Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
If you want to turn with us tonight, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. I'm just going to read one verse tonight, verse number 12. I'll give you time to turn to the scripture. Since there's only one verse, it's certainly possible that I could read it for you ever find it. But I'd like for you to find it. I believe that the Word of God is critical. It's not an important part. It's necessity. We have to have the Word of God. And so hide it in your heart, as the psalmist said, that you might not sin against God. If you want a remedy for sin, or you want a formula to relieve of sin, then it'll take His Word. But if you'll allow His Word to do its work, it'll certainly reveal and relieve of our sin. So let's be mindful of His Word tonight. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Father, we pray You'd open our heart as we recognize the importance of this truth. I don't know who's listening, but I humbly pray that we hear You, that we accept this truth, and that we allow it to have its free course in our hearts and among us. Change us by it. May the power of it, Lord, transform us over and over. We thank You for what You're going to do, and we worship You in this as we pray for the unction, confessing, Lord, that we have no power within ourselves. We pray Your will be done. Guide us now, and in all of this may Christ be exalted. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I can't help but feel some pastoral responsibility as we get closer to the communion of the Lord's body. And we will have, you know, Lord willing, hopefully several men here on Friday and Saturday and Sunday night. And I expect in every way that God will send the word and that it will be clear. And I'm expecting that. I'm anxious for it, actually. I've prayed for it all week and for direction in that way. But it won't hurt us to start a little early. There's a way that seems right to everyone, right? It's not just a sum. I believe that it's universal. Everybody thinks they know what to do. They know what's right. And unfortunately, it's simply not true. Man within himself has never known right, right? Man's never been able to work it out. He's never been able to figure it out. And here we stand in a mess, in a brokenness, in a society culturally that has gone down from the very beginning. There's a lot can be said about that, but let's take it for what it is. It's man doing his own thing. That's why where we are, if we'd follow God, there'd be different results. It'd be different. We wouldn't live in a world of chaos and indecision and heartbreak and sin and wickedness everywhere. If we'd follow the will of God, it would be different. And so it's quite clear that we're reaping the whirlwind because we've sown to the wind. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I don't have a word personally, but I believe the Word of God can change people. And I believe when you get saved, you are changed. Now, you can say that you're not, but if you can deny Christ, you've never been born again. You've never been made one of His own. And I found that ever since I got saved, there was something in me that was greater than the flesh on the outside. Now, that was what the apostle was trying to get him to see and recognize, is that the Holy Spirit is in the believer. And if you're a believer, a child of God today, there's an indwelling of what is right. It's there. Now, you can say it ain't fair. You can claim that the devil made you do it, but it ain't true, right? If you did wrong, it's because you chose to do wrong. There's a way that seems right unto man, but bless God, there's a way that is right. And it lives inside of the born-again believer, and I'm glad for that. I'm thankful for that. Well, I'm so grateful. I don't know how else to say it, but thank you, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit dwells in me and that he can do no wrong. I'm glad that he's ever constant. He's never sleeping or on vacation or out of office or any of that. He's always there, and he's always working in me his goodwill and purpose. But oh, how many times have we been sidetracked, literally put in the ditch spiritually because we chose to do it our way. And man does have their own way. I want to read from Judges. I'm going to read several passages of Scripture tonight. If you want to jot them down, I'll warn you ahead of time. Judges 21, verse number 25. As we try to think tonight about how simple it is, or easy it is, I might say, about how the flesh just thinks it knows what to do, right? How many times have you just been messed up because you followed it, right? It came so quick, and it seemed so simple, and it felt like just the right thing to do, and so there you go, off down that primrose path, only to find it led you to a cliff. And if we're not careful, we fall off that thing and right into the ditch spiritually. And you say it ain't true. It is true. The Bible speaks of, the Apostle Paul spoke of several of them whose faith was shipwrecked. It was absolutely shipwrecked because they had a way that was right, but it wasn't God's way. They wasn't of God, you see. They were doing their own thing, and they had their own agenda, and they thought it was right, but it wasn't right. Remember the Apostle Peter several times in the Word of God, how the Lord would expose his thinking. I thank God that he don't expose mine to you, but he exposed Peter's to us. Amen. There was a time when the disciples had a bunch of people that was mocking Jesus and disagreeing with Jesus, and the disciples said, "Shall we call fire down out of heaven?" Now they had a way figured out how to fix that problem. Jesus looked at him and said, "You're not even on the right track here." Right? What are you thinking? Here I am trying to save people, and you want to call fire down out of heaven to solve the problem. Well, there's a way that seems right unto man, but truth is, if it's of us, it's probably wrong. It's probably wrong. There's a way that seems right. Oh, isn't it so easy to think that something is the right way or that it's going the way we should? There was a time when the Apostle Peter rebuked the Lord. Now, you and I are sitting here today saying, "Wow, that's ridiculous. He ought to know." The very thought when it crossed his mind that you ain't going to rebuke the Lord, but he did, you see, because it seemed right to him. It seemed right and important for him to say, "Lord, I'm not going to go along with this stuff you're telling us about going to a cross and dying there and all of that." He said, "No." He said, "I'll not have it. I'm going to fight for you. Whatever it takes, I'll see that this never happens to you." But he wasn't right. He was wrong. There was a way. It seemed right to him, but it was wrong. He told the Lord, and just even before he would go to the cross, he said, "I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you." But oh, didn't he? The Bible said that he did just exactly what the Lord said. And it was even after Peter had received the Holy Spirit that he had still that tendency to follow the flesh. The Bible said he got mixed up with the Judaizers, and he was allowing all kinds of these things drug in to be put upon the new Christians there. And finally, Paul withstood him to his face, and he said, "You're wrong. You're wrong." And when he was convinced of this, he admitted it, and they stood for the right. But isn't it simple for us just to get sucked right into a way that seems right? I want to read to us from Judges 21 now. Just to remind us here, we find this is the very last chapter of Judges, and it's the very last verse. If ever you'll find Ecclesiastes like this as well, but if you want to think of a summary verse for a whole book, this is it. Let me read it to you. Judges 21:25. "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Now, if you want a mess, just start that as your method of operation. Just let that be what guides you every day. Wake up tomorrow and just yield yourself to every thought and whim of your brain or your flesh. And I tell you, before the end of the day, you'll be shipwrecked spiritually. You'll find yourself in the ditch. You'll find yourself upside down with God when you begin to let yourself live it out. Do what you think is right. Do what is right in your own eyes. That's what's wrong with this country today. Amen. I believe in a democracy, but the truth is, when Jesus comes back, it won't be a democracy. Huh? There's a king coming. He won't care what you think. You understand? He will not be asking your opinion, will not need it. He is right and has always been right, and when he rules this earth, he will be forevermore right. The king, the authority in every way. You say, oh, but that's then. No, I proclaim it's now. I proclaim that the Lord Jesus Christ lives in me now and should rule every part of my life. And that especially involves my thinking, my mind, what I think. You see, there was no king in Israel, or in effect what they were saying was there was no true authority. There was nobody that could hand out what was right and say, this is the standard by which all will be measured, and anything in violation of this will have consequences. There was no one in Israel that could enact truth. And when there's no truth, what man will do is go his own way. And before it's over with, he will self-destruct. Now, we're headed that way as a country. Huh? It's just going to happen. It will happen unless Jesus changes it. And it'll take the power of God and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It'll take everything for us to be changed. But I'm telling you tonight that I know right. Right? I don't need to be a sucker to this world's propaganda. I can tell you, I know what is right. You say, how do you know? How can you be so confident? Number one, I've got a book. But number two, I've got a God, and he lives inside of me. And bless God, he is always right. The problem is when I do what's right in my own eyes. Right? When the writer of Judges said, there wasn't any king in Israel, and so everybody just did what they thought was right. And boy, you can read through the book of Judges and you just scratch your head and say, what were they thinking? The problem was is they were thinking like humans think. They just did what they thought they needed to do, and the truth was is they were wrong. You know, the best medicine we could do is wake up every morning and admit we ain't got all the answers. That we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. It'd be better if we just be honest with God and say, I'm a mess and I oughtn't to be left driving this thing. I need you to take the wheel. Right? We ought to be honest enough just to say that I'm not the smartest one around. I'm not the one that knows all and sees all and is all. Lord, you live inside of me. I need you to direct my steps. And didn't he say he would? Let me read from 1 Kings chapter 15, verse number 5. I'm going to read two verses from 1 Kings 15. One is concerning David. And I want you to listen to what, if you go through the book of Kings, what you'll learn about is a bunch of kings. Does that make sense? Right? When you read through the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, you learn about a bunch of kings. And they were kings of Judah, kings of Israel, and we learn about them. And what you'll find in each story about each king is that there'll be a summary verse. Typically, it starts it out. When you're introduced to a king, it tells you who he was beget by and when he was, what age he was when he come to rule. But what you'll read next is the following. And I'm going to read about David. The Bible said, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turn not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Right? We know he messed up there. Right? And that's clearly documented in the Word of God. But what it says in the Word of God about David was is that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Right? Not in his own eyes. Right? That's what I read in the other place where there was no king. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Or what I read first was there's a way that seems right unto a man. A man's mind was dictating what it is he did next. But may I say what he said about King David was he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. May I say to you today, that is the way we need to be. What do what's right in the eyes of God, not what's right in our own eyes. How many times have we tried to justify our position? We've tried to compromise or negotiate with God why we should be allowed to do this or do that or hate this one or any of these other things. I can say, brother, if it violates the word of God, it's not right. And we needn't try to make it right. God is right, and he's always been right. And bless your heart, he lives in me, and therefore I can be right. I can be. But I can't do what's right in my own eyes. I have to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. You say, preacher, if I could just have the eyes of the Lord, this would be a much simpler task. I'm going to suggest to you today that I have the eyes of the Lord right here. You want to know what he thinks? He wrote it down for you. Aren't you glad of that? Now, if you ain't been reading it, I hope you're a bit ashamed of it, right? Because if you want to know the eyes of the Lord, if you want to know what pleases God, it's right here. If you want to know what violates his goodwill and purpose, it's right here. Everything that we need to know about being a believer in Christ, he gave us a book. And this book will lead us in all truth and right. It says righteousness, but that what it means is right. You want to be right? We have the book. We have the Holy Spirit that is absolutely right and perfect in every way who lives inside of us. The Bible said in 1 Kings 15, verse 11, as he introduced one of David's grandchildren, his name was Asa. And the Bible said, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. Now, you can go through and read about all those kings, and it'll tell you whether they did right in the eyes of the Lord or whether they did not right in the eyes of the Lord. May I say to you today that the only one that really matters is his eyes. When it comes to being measured, I can assure you that it won't be your neighbor trying to sum you up in the end. It won't be your neighbor, your teacher, your anybody else that has influenced you in this life. It won't be them in the end that is judging you based on what was right or what was wrong. No, it won't be man's intelligence. It won't be man's opinion. When you stand before God, you will stand before right. Righteousness in its perfect form. You will stand before a holy God. And brother, it will either be right in the eyes of the Lord or it won't be right at all. Can it really be that simple? Well, the Bible said it like this. Proverbs 12, verses 13 and 14. Again, here's another one of them. Last chapter of the book, last two verses of the chapter, and here's how the wisest man on earth summed it up. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, that's verse number 13. I want to give you verse number 14. I believe it relevant. Listen to it. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Get that now. This is important. We're trying to get right with God. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May I say to you today that doing right is very important because God knows the difference. Amen. It may not have come out of your mouth, but if you said it in your mind and meant it in your heart, I'll tell you right now, he recorded that. He knows the difference between right and wrong. He knows, amen, where we think it gray, where we think it compromisable. God knows the difference, and the Holy Spirit in us knows the difference. You may think it's right in your own eyes, but brother, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's just not right. It's not right. And you can't convince me and need to try. I've got enough problems on my own, right? I don't need to hear you're trying to convince yourself of what's right and wrong. I can tell you right now, if it's of the flesh, it's wrong. Most of the time, it is simply contrary to the will of God. What the Apostle Paul said was, is my flesh nature wants nothing to do with right. It don't want anything to do with God's way. It's carnal. It's not spiritual. And it's not changed. The flesh simply is not reformed. Now, because he that's in me is greater than the flesh, it's forced to go along. Admit it. Right? If the Holy Spirit wasn't in you, you'd be lost in a second. If the Word of God and Spirit of God didn't abide in you as a saved, born-again believer in Christ, none of us would make it not 1 minute before we self-destructed spiritually. Because in the flesh, it's just whatever's right in my own eyes. But God has made a way that forever changed what we're measured to. Now, I'm not too hard on them folks in the book of Judges because they didn't have what I have. I can tell you right now, I don't have any excuses. They might have been able to say, well, I don't have the Holy Spirit leading me. And I'd have to say that's true, right? I've got an advantage that they didn't have. Number two, they didn't have this book. I do. I've got the old one and the new one. I carry it around in one volume, right? I can open it up. I can read it. I can get it on my phone. I can get it on my iPad. I can get it on my computer. There ain't nowhere that I can't find the Word of God. And he also placed it in my heart. Now, if there's anybody that needs to be ashamed of sin, it ought to be me. Because I have right in its perfect form living inside of me. I don't have to call him or her. I don't have to ask anybody, do you think this is right? Number one, that's probably a bad action anyway. The best thing we ought to be is trying to figure out if God thinks it's right. Is this right in the eyes of the Lord? Now, what Solomon said was, is, the conclusion of the whole matter is that we need to fear God and keep his commandments. Now, what he meant was, is do right. Live right. Because we recognize that in the end, God's going to bring every work into judgment. So now, we have a motivation to do right. Not only is it the right thing to do, but in the end, brother, it's going to help you or hurt you if you do not choose to do right in the eyes of the Lord instead of your own eyes. Let me read just two places. I won't read this one, but if you want to reference it, you can go to Revelation chapter 20, and you can find where the lost and the dead are judged. Right? The great white throne judgment of God. The Bible said the dead's going to give up its, and the lost, and they're all going to stand before God. And the book is going to be opened, and if their name wasn't found in the book, they're going to be cast into a lake of fire forever. May I say to you today, there is a judgment coming. And whether you believe there's a judgment coming doesn't change the fact there's a judgment coming. It is right and he will be right. And those that are dead and lost and stand before God, they're going to be judged for every work they've done. And ultimately, when their name is not found in the Lamb's book, they're going to be cast into hell. And brother, there is a judgment that will sort out every secret thing of a man's life. Right or wrong. He will sort it every bit out. Won't be one thing lost, one thing overlooked, one thing went under the rug and you got it out of God's sight. Nope. God will reveal everything on that day. And he'll be right. And you'll not. You'll not. That's one judgment. But also the Christian will be judged. Now, I want to give you where he's going to be judged because people have confusing thoughts about the judgment of Christians. But let me be clear, at least on this part, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, here's what he said, verse 13. He said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Now that indicates us clearly that there is a day of judgment coming for the believer. You can read the rest of Corinthians, that's your homework if you don't believe me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, he's talking to the saved people, he ain't talking to lost. He's talking to the saved. He had just told them, for no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid in Christ Jesus and all of that. He's talking to the saved. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, talking about what? Built upon what? The foundation, which is Jesus Christ, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There's a judgment coming to the believer, right? You say, I'm a believer, it don't matter how I live, I'm getting to go to heaven. I beg your pardon, there's a judgment coming for you. And you can go on and think you can just do as you see fit in your own eyes, but I can tell you that'll catch up with you on the judgment day. And you'll be sorry. If it don't matter to me, preacher, as long as I get into heaven, you've got that attitude now, but you'll change it. I'll tell you right now, when he said you shall suffer loss, that's exactly what he meant. You can mark that down. He will judge every man's work, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, didn't change the fact that my name's in his book and I get to go to heaven. I get that part. But you will be sorry. Hear me. You will be sorry if you lived your life according to what was in your own heart, what was in your own eyes, what was your own way. You'll be sorry. You'll suffer loss for having not done right. There's a judgment coming. All right, we'll close with this. So knowing that there's a judgment coming and that it's important that I do right, then there's an expectation ought to be laid upon us. As born-again believers in Christ, let me just lay it on you. There is an expectation for you and I to be holy. You say, oh, I can't be holy in the flesh. Well, to some extent, I understand you struggle because we're all flesh and we all fight it. But the truth is that is not an excuse, right? And you won't use that before the Holy One that day. Let me just be clear. You will not say, well, I just couldn't do it in the flesh, Lord. You know, right? You know how hard it was. No. No, the Bible said he endured everything that we did and did it without sin. There wasn't anything or anything that we have gone through or will go through that he didn't understand fully, and he in the flesh went through it and did it perfectly. We have no excuse, especially since he put his Holy Spirit in us. We know what's right. The truth is we ought to just be honest and repent every day. Get right with God. That's what the term means ultimately, is that we get from where we were to where we need to be, which is right and not wrong. Judgment is a good reason to get right. But I believe quite simply the expectation the apostle gives us in Romans chapter 12 ought to be enough. What he said in Romans 12 verses number 1 and 2. Number 1 he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, he's talking to the saved, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, what Paul was saying here is that it's just reasonable to expect you to live right. All right, so don't be bringing me none of your sad excuses. Because when we live according to our own eyes, our own way, we're going to fail. We're going to fail. But what he said was, is if we would walk in the Spirit, we wouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so he encourages, don't walk in the flesh, walk in the Spirit. Right? We have the formula. We have what he says to do. We know what is right. And we can't just go about doing what's right in our own eyes. It won't work. Never has, it never will. But he is right, and he is in me. And therefore, right is always available. And according to the Apostle Paul, it's expected. You think God's up there saying, well, poor Emily, she's going to sin 14 times today, and, well, it's just because it's Emily. No. No, there's no pass. The only grace was Calvary. And the blood that was shed and the atonement that was given, did that cover my sins? Yes. But did it give me an excuse to sin? No. What the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6, he said, look, I'm dead to sin. I can't live that way anymore. You say, because you're under grace, you're not under the law. I'm not under the law, thank God for that, but it doesn't give me a license to sin. Just because I've been born again doesn't mean that grace is somehow some get-out-of-jail card. It's not. No. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, listen to me, if you want to know what your reasonable service is, I'm going to read it to you again because you probably weren't listening when I read it the first time, right? Because you've heard it so much. I'm going to read it again because you need to hear it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself. Huh? Think of that now. You present yourself unto God as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which, he said, is the least you could do. Well, if that's the least I could do, what would be the greater? You ever thought about that? I'm still struggling to get the least checked off. But apparently there's even something beyond the least I could do. If it's measurable, he said it's your reasonable service. You know what I'd like to be? Above that. You ever met them people that were just, wow. I mean, I met a lot of ordinary people. That's what he's talking about. He said the ordinary life of a believer ought to be a living sacrifice presented unto God every day. A sacrifice which is holy. That hurt anybody? Acceptable unto God. These, he said, is the least you can do. No, I'd like to hear him say, well done. Huh? I don't know how many employees that I had that just showed up, hit the clock, and, you know, just barely did what they had to do day after day. I can't remember ever looking one in the eye and saying, well done. You understand? But I've also had them that excelled, that worked harder than the next man, went above and beyond the next man. And I have said to them, well done. Right? How awful for us to think that we're going to stand before God and it doesn't matter what he says. Will he say, well done, when you're there? Will he look at your life and will he measure the right? Right? The good versus the evil. Will he, when he judges it, will he look and say, well done? I don't know about you, but I'm convicted. It is important that we live according to what is right in his eyes. Because, by the way, he's the only one doing the judging in the end. The only one. Let me finish with verse number next, number two. And he said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by how? By renewing your mind. You want to know how we accomplish what is right in the eyes of the Lord? I can tell you right now, if you think you can do it absent of your mind, you've missed the boat. It won't happen. You say, you mean I do it in the flesh? No, it's absolutely in the spirit, but it'll be in the mind where the spirit does the work, because in the mind is where the decision is made to live right. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And every man does right in his own eyes. No, it won't work. It won't. Look around you, people. That's what's going on in our society today. As man is doing what is right in their own eyes. And guess what's right? A bunch of wrong. Right? They call it right. They promote it as right. They declare it's right, and if you say it's wrong, you're the one that's wrong. Well, it's not me. You know who the problem is? The problem is with God. I just happen to be on his side. Again, he's not on mine. I'm on his. Their problem is with God because God has declared that there is a right. And anything that doesn't line up with that is what? It's wrong, right? So, I'm almost done. He says, let this mind be in you. Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5. The apostle gives him the important part of the lesson here. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? Well, he goes on to tell how Jesus came and did exactly what the Father sent him to do. What did he do? He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So what actually did Jesus do? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did what was right. And so he says, Valerie, let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind that wakes up every day and say, my simple purpose and goal in life is to obey what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And in every circumstance, we'll have an opportunity to either do right or do wrong. Oh, that I had the mind of Christ. And that's what he's saying, is let this mind be in you. Let the mind of Christ be in you. I contend today the mind of Christ is in me. It's not a foreign thought. It's not even hard to rationalize when we understand the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead, lives inside of me. It's not a foreign concept to think that I could think like Christ. That doesn't make me Christ. It just makes me able to obey what is right in the eyes of the Lord. God help us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Now he's talking about the believer. As many as be perfect. Be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Not God's will that any should perish. He don't want us to live in sin. I can assure you of that. Grace is not meant to give us a license to do whatever we think right in our own eyes. No, if you've been born again, there will be a desire for you to do not what the flesh wants to do, but what he wants to do. What's right in the eyes of the Lord, not what's right in your own eyes. Let me close with this one, Romans 14, verses 7 through 9. The Apostle Paul said this, and you say, why is it important? Well, because of this. For none of us liveth to himself. And no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die, what did Paul say? He said, we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, what did he say? We are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord. Listen now, to both the living and the dead. You say, what's that mean to me? You're the living. He wants to be Lord in your life. Do we get it? Come get a song. I understand that when I die, I'm the Lord's, right? I'm going to heaven, right? And when I get to heaven, there won't be no sin, won't be no flesh. It'll be his way and the only way. Got it. But Paul said to Alfred, he said, he's the Lord now. Right now he's the Lord. For me to live any other way than right is not acceptable unto God. It's not. It's not acceptable to live and do what is right in my own eyes. It's just a recipe for self-destruction. Right? You do it long, the devil will steal everything you have. When you start down that path, you've just kicked the door open to misery. He'll take everything that is important, and then you'll lose the things that are precious. Like peace and joy and hope. Know anybody like that? I do. And I know how they got that way. When godly sorrow came, they did not repent. They were not sorry. But they did what was right in their own eyes. I thought about this morning when I was praying over the Word. I want it to be that when I'm gone, that any one of you in a clear conscience to tell the cat that's going to make the rock for me what they said about them kings. Put on there, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I don't know if I've lived that way, to where any one of you in clear conscience could say, put that on his rock. I'd like to sum his life up. Was he perfect? No, I'm not saying he was perfect. But I'm saying he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. His life was not a pattern of self-will and his own way. No, he spent his life, clearly spent his life trying to please pie in the sky. Not so. I can think of many that I would have, without hesitation, said, write this. She did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I'd have easily had that put on their grave. I'm not looking just to get in. I don't know what you're after. But when he calls me, I want to be running still as hard as I can run. If you're thinking about giving up or retiring on Jesus, that's not in the plan. You press on until your body won't, or he takes you on. You press on. You run just as hard. I don't know. I'm trying to win. I'm not looking to get in and say, phew, barely made it. You think God is happy with that? I don't. And I think it matters. If the whole conclusion of the matter is that we fear God and keep His commandments, then I think we ought to focus on right. We ought to try to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord and not what's right in our own eyes. We can see the result of that, and we can see the result of the other. We have a clear cloud of witnesses on both sides. I can assure you that trying to do right is important. It's important now. It'll always be important. Teach it to your children. Teach it to your grandchildren. Doing right is not an option. Stand as we sing. If you need him tonight, the altar's open. Let's get our heart right with God. Let's make sure that there's not anything that stands between us and him.